The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and Janet can't make it today, but hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. And I hope you had a chance to listen to yesterday's program with Jordan Rubin. I thought it was a very interesting program, highlighting just how important it is to keep our food supply as safe as possible. And if you didn't hear it, you know we archive it on our website, naturaldocradio.com. But more importantly, Toonies is having their annual seminar next Tuesday. Doors open at 6 o'clock at the Coral Springs Performing Center for Performing Arts, I think is how they call it. He'll be a speaker there, so recommend you go listen to him in person. It should be very good. Last night I went to a meeting put on by a laboratory who is one of the forward-thinking laboratories in that they bring innovative testing that helps the doctor and the patient make better decisions. And by that I mean, I think the disagreement in healthcare doesn't come from the diagnostic point of view, it comes from the treatment point of view. And the real problems come with what you do with the information and how you use it to treat patients. So the test that they were talking about yesterday is known as a troponin eye test. And it has to be made a distinction between that test and the regular troponin that is done in the emergency rooms of hospitals when someone comes in with chest pain. Because this one is extremely sensitive, so that you can have a normal troponin in a hospital ER and still have an elevation in this one. So the point is that you're identifying people at an earlier stage that may be at risk for cardiac events. And it's just important to know it. I think that's a motivator for people to take better care of themselves, take a look at how they're treating their bodies, and maybe they could make some changes. And if you recall, too, the other day we talked about another test, TMAO, another risk factor for cardiovascular disease. That one is that particular substance made in your digestive tract. So it's important to have this information because the approach, in my opinion, which differs from mainstream medicine's approach is always to use a drug and then to do some invasive procedures. But the benefit of identifying people in an early stage is it gives the individual more time to really remove the underlying causes of the problem. And it always comes down to improving the lifestyle, getting back into regular exercise, stress modification, which is a major factor in all illness and gets very little attention, primarily because it's difficult to measure stress, although we found a device that can do that by monitoring the autonomic nervous system. It can detect stress. Now, stress on the body with this device is looking at heart rate variability, the elasticity of the arteries in the blood, in the body, and just how your heart is working and how you're breathing and things like that. So that plays a role in identifying stress. And the way I can tell that it is effective is that when you put someone to rest, in other words, you have them sit down in a chair and relax for half hour or so and repeat the test, you can see an improvement. So that points out the benefit then of meditation, that maybe people are on the go and running constantly all day long and they don't give their bodies a chance to escape the stress. So that's where meditation comes in. And meditation may just be sitting in a quiet room. That's all. Don't have to think about anything. So we have this test, this troponin I. And if it's elevated, it's just another warning sign that to make changes. Now, what are the changes that needs to be made in most people? I can't say all people, but in most people, if you test them, is cutting back on sugar and carbohydrates. Unfortunately, sugar and carbohydrates come in many forms. Sometimes you don't even realize you're getting them. I always say, if your food is coming in a package, you should read the label, but better yet, don't buy food in a package because then it's in its natural form. So the only exception to that is fruits. People forget that fruits are a source of a lot of sugar, and people tend to load up on fruits because they think it's healthy, and it is in moderation, but if you overdo the sugar, it can become a problem. But you don't know unless you do the testing because you can feel well. And I think that's the major distinction that I'm trying to point out to people between mainstream medicine's approach and doctors who practice functional medicine, because they realize that people can feel good and have things going wrong in their body. And that seems obvious, I think, to everybody, but the way the curriculums of medical school are structured, when they start teaching doctors how to treat patients, it all starts from the chief complaint. In other words, a patient has to go to the doctor complaining of something. If you don't have a complaint, why are you going to the doctor? And I think that's where the problems arise. Now, they have improved upon that to some extent because they say, well, go to your doctor, have your blood pressure checked or have your cholesterol checked, or have your blood sugar checked. Of course, the real reason for that is so they can sell some drugs, because that's all they're checking. They're not checking so many of the other parameters that can go wrong that require lifestyle changes or dietary changes or increases in exercise that can correct the problem. And they never stress that. And then getting back to the meeting last night, given by a highly respected physician who's really an expert in the field of cardiology, his immediate approach is to put people on statin drugs for these problems. And I'm against statin drugs as a first-line treatment. I think they need to be reserved for the ones, for the patients that don't respond to all the other treatments. The only problem is in mainstream medicine, they never give the other treatments a chance to work, the other treatments being dietary changes, exercise. We know that there are different supplements that can be helpful, but they never give it a chance to work. They just immediately say, go on a statin drug. Or worse yet, they may use the abnormality to go ahead with other invasive testing. And which, again, brings me to the point of view of getting second opinions all the time. And I'll give you a perfect example here. If they see something that suggests, you have abnormalities in your coronary arteries, because that's what we're talking about. And, that may give them a reason to go ahead and do a cardiac catheterization, or a less invasive test would be a CT angiogram. So they don't have to be as invasive, and they can look for blockages. Now, just a reminder that you can have blockages in coronary arteries and not require an invasive treatment because you've developed collaterals that will not show up on that test. So another test to keep in mind, if you find yourself in that position and ask your doctors about this, is a cardiac perfusion study. That's another basically non-invasive test. They do have to inject a little dye into your body so they can visualize things. But that's looking at the heart muscle to see if it's getting enough blood flow. So that will take into account the presence of collateral circulation, as opposed to just looking at the coronary arteries and seeing if there's any blockages there. So two different tests, both giving important information. And it's important to know about them because even the American Medical Association in their publication, JAMA, has once stated that as many as 50% of the bypass operations being done were unnecessary. Now, that's mainstream saying that. Now, if you look into alternative doctors, they say that basically there is no distinction or there's no additional benefit by having bypass surgery over medical treatment for chest pain or for blockages, for that matter, except in one instance. If you cannot relieve the angina, you know, those incapacitating chest pains that come with exertion, with medication, then you may want to resort to an invasive procedure, an angioplasty or bypass operation. Of course, there are other treatments to try, and we've had a lot of success with chelation therapy in those patients. The chest pain goes away. But the point that the alternative doctors make is that if you're telling a patient, have this procedure, and we're going to reduce your risk of dying or having subsequent heart attacks, because I know that's what they're saying, the statistics don't bear that out, that the medically treated patients do just as well as far as not dying or having additional heart attacks, because those procedures don't address the underlying problem, being vulnerable plaque. Now, a plaque, as you know, is the appearance of blockages in the coronary arteries, and over time, you know, they can grow bigger and obstruct blood flow and give a patient symptoms. But in its earliest stages, they're flat and they really don't obstruct blood flow, and they're called vulnerable plaque, and that term means they're vulnerable to rupture. And we'll discuss this a little bit more after the break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Have you ever heard of someone going to see the doctor for a checkup or a sore throat or some common complaint, and in that visit they were diagnosed with a much more serious issue? The story I remember is the one about someone taking blood tests before cosmetic surgery, and those blood tests saved the life of the patient by discovering colon cancer. So don't be surprised. Come to Advanced Medical Testing for comprehensive testing to assure wellness. Call 754-216-2332 to schedule an appointment and get the information you need about advanced medical testing, or visit amtcenters.com. That's 754-216-2332. Or amtcenters.com.
Janet Cimarelli is a licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process.
Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet couldn't make it today, but we expect her to be back tomorrow. We've been talking about coronary artery disease and what is really behind all the symptoms, and that's the presence of plaque. But a distinction has to be made between two different types of plaque. You have the mature plaque and the immature plaque, otherwise known as vulnerable plaque, and it's vulnerable to rupturing. The mature plaque is pretty stable. It's stable plaque. It won't rupture, but it does obstruct blood flow. So those are the so the mature plaque is usually the one that creates the symptoms because it's obstructing blood flow. And those are the ones that are addressed with an angioplasty or bypass surgery. But the other plaque, the vulnerable or immature plaque, are usually flat. It, you know, they're new plaque being laid down, but they're prone to rupture. And if they do rupture, that's when you get an acute blockage. You know, the plaque ruptures, there's bleeding, there's a blood clot forming, and obstruction to blood flow acutely. And those are the ones that cause heart attacks, and they're not being addressed by the procedures, bypass surgery, angioplasty. And speaking of this, there's another test that highlights whether or not you might be at greater risk for a vulnerable plaque to rupture. Because, mind you, you can have vulnerable plaque and have absolutely no symptoms. And that, you see, that's the danger. And this is why you always hear statistics that as many as 30 or 40% the first presentation of heart disease is sudden death, because this vulnerable plaque that was asymptomatic ruptures and the patient dies. There is a test called LPPLA2. It's another inflammatory marker, but it's representing the presence of vulnerable plaque and how likely it is to rupture. You know, so I think that's another important test. So we've talked about TMA O and the troponin I, and now we have the LPPLA2. All blood tests, all covered by insurance, by the way, giving you the information that there might be something wrong and you can take further steps. Mainstream medicine's further steps is, you know, give you statins. I like to try other things before that. You know, we mentioned lifestyle, exercise, get the carbs down. Sugar, by the way, is an inflammatory substance. Fat cells are an inflammatory substance. So if you lose weight, you reduce inflammation in the body. Then you can take natural anti-inflammatories. I've seen excellent results in patients using curcumin. But you never know if these natural substances are working, or for the or for that matter, whether the drugs are working if you don't do the testing and the retesting to see if you're getting a response. I also like vitamin E, you know, fish oil. These are all natural substances. And let's not leave out vitamin C. You've probably, if you listen to the show regularly, heard me talk about Linus Pauling's theory of coronary artery disease. I think it makes a lot of sense. And let me refer you to the website talking about this called PaulingTherapy.com. And you spell his last name, P-A-U-L-I-N-G. Now, it was interesting at the meeting last night, since I've been practicing as a physician for over 30 years, you go to these meetings and you see a lot of younger physicians, and I couldn't say their age. I'm assuming they had to be in their 30s because usually that's around the time you finish with all your training. They never heard of Linus Pauling. So that's a shame because, as I think it was Harry Truman said, the only thing new in the world is the history you haven't read. And it applies to medicine, too. You know, we talk about other treatments like infrared blood therapy, very effective. Well, I read the history back in the 1920s and 30s. The Knott machine was used in hospitals to treat life-threatening infections curing people. They didn't have antibiotics at that time. They didn't have any good treatments. The ultraviolet blood treatment made a big difference. Not being used today in hospitals, they're using antibiotics. And what do you hear about antibiotics? There are more super bugs or resistant bugs, and they're having problems. So, but the NOT machine or the ultraviolet blood machine are very effective. So these healthcare providers had never heard of Linus Pauling. Well, Linus Pauling did a lot of research on vitamin C. And by the way, he was a two-time Nobel Prize winner. One was for peace. The other one was, I think, in biochemistry. And, he researched throughout the 1900s. I think he probably died in the late 1900s, in his early 90s. So, he was born at the beginning of the century. In 1900, they didn't know much about vitamin C. It was discovered a little bit later on exactly what it was and what it did. And in his research, he discovered that most animals make their own vitamin C. Only the humans and primates, the fruit-eating bat, and guinea pigs among the mammals did not make vitamin C. And in observing these animals and their vitamin C production, he noticed that when they were under stress, now stress can come in many forms, including infections, they increased their vitamin C production to as much as 1,400 milligrams a day based on a human weight. Okay, so he said that, okay, vitamin C must have some function then in infections and stress on the body. And at rest or in a normal state without any infections going on, the animals, based on a human weight, were making about 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And that's why I recommend that people take around that amount on a daily basis. But he observed something further. You may not know this, but most animals that make vitamin C, they don't suffer from coronary artery disease. And he said, could the vitamin C have something to do with that? And then you remember that the disease that occurs with a total lack of vitamin C, and they saw that in sailors, crossing the Atlantic, in the 14, 1500s, they didn't know too much about anything except they were dying during the trip because their bodies were falling apart because they lacked vitamin C. And at that time, it would take months and months and months to get across. And then it was discovered that eating limes prevented that problem. They didn't know what it was about the lime, but it prevented the problem. And, of course, recent research shows that vitamin C is essential for collagen production. Collagen is what's required in your blood vessels, but throughout your body as well, but in your blood vessels, to maintain their integrity and their strength. And if you're lacking vitamin C, not to the point where you have scurvy, where your body is falling apart, where you're bleeding from your gums and elsewhere, but it's just lacking. The blood vessels, and the ones most vulnerable are the ones right outside or right by the heart, because they're absorbing the greatest amount of pressure from the heart action pumping. They would experience microtrauma. And the body's approach to protecting the blood vessels would be to lay down plaque. And that's how the reason for the development of plaque is this microtrauma that occurs when there's a lack of vitamin C. So Linus Pauling called it chronic scurvy or low-grade scurvy. So it's a low-grade vitamin C deficiency. And that would, that would make sense on the surface, but he went further to decide whether this indeed was the issue. How did he do that? By giving people higher doses of vitamin C. And when he did that, the problems were prevented and in most cases reversed. So he recommended using vitamin C and lysine together to prevent coronary artery disease and help reverse the condition because he saw it was working. And other people saw it was working. On his website, if you go to that Pauling Therapy, you'll hear from an optometrist who would look in the eyes of people because that's where you can actually visualize blood vessels, and he saw a reversal of the atherosclerosis. So he went to the National Institute of Health for a grant to do a study to prove it one way or another. On two occasions, he was declined. So that makes me think that there's probably a lot to it. But needless to say, I think at a bare minimum, people should consider trying to take at least 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. So that's one of the things. So if you do these tests that we're talking about, the TMAO, the ultra-sensitive troponin or troponin I, the LPPLA2, you want to try and restore the health of these blood vessels. So vitamin C should be an important factor there. And then all the other nutrients we're familiar with. We've mentioned the vitamin E, the fish oil, the CoQ10. I'd cut back on the sugars because those are inflammatory factors. Add in curcumin and then remeasure, you know, in a couple of months and see if you're achieving your goals before you resort to taking a statin drug. You see, that's the whole point. You know, drugs should be used as a treatment of last resort because there are so many available approaches that are more natural. And by natural, meaning remove the underlying cause of the problem to begin with and give the body a chance to heal before you just take a drug with statins. Now, if statins weren't associated with so many potential side effects, you know, then I would say, sure, go ahead with a statin. But it's the risk of all the side effects associated with statins that make me hesitate to recommend them as a first-line therapy because, you know, one of the things, you know, I always ask myself, would I do this to myself? And the answer is no. And this is information that's readily available. You know, if you go online and you want to see what kind of side effects are potentially can be caused, if you look up a statin drug, you would see that the common reactions to taking it are infection, headaches, arthralgias or joint pain, sinusitis, back pain, the flu syndrome, muscle pain, abdominal pain, diarrhea, dizziness, elevated liver enzymes, a decrease in CoQ10 levels. So those people, as a reminder, if you're taking a statin now, monitor your CoQ10 levels because that's something important to watch. Also, with statins, your blood sugars can go up, so it's a risk factor for diabetes, and it can also impair your memory. And those are just the common reactions. When we come back, I'll talk about the more serious reactions. Right now, time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimaroli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Jana couldn't join us today, but she'll be back tomorrow. We've been talking about, we started off talking about the meeting I went to last night about a new test called cardiac troponin I. It's not the same as the troponin you get in the emergency room. It's a very sensitive test, so you can identify people that are experiencing damage at the cellular level to their heart before it becomes a life-threatening issue. The regular troponin that's ordered is when someone presents in the ER with chest pain. They want to see if that's representing heart damage or not. This is far more sensitive. So, you know, that's a test that people should be aware of. Now, that test, you know, is can be obtained at our sponsor, Advanced Medical Testing Centers, because they send out the tests to all the different specialty labs, because Quest and LabCorp don't do that test. That test is done by the lab called Singulex. I mentioned another test, and we talked about it the other day, TMAO, another independent risk factor for cardiovascular disease. That test is done by Cleveland Heart Labs. So if when you go to Advanced Medical Testing Centers and you want these tests done, they will send out the blood to all these different labs to get those specific tests done. And then before the break, I was talking about why I reserve statin drugs as the treatment of last resort, or maybe no treatment at all with statins. You know, I mentioned the common side effects, which include headaches, joint pain, muscle pain, digestive issues, elevation in liver enzymes. You know, when you have your liver enzymes elevated, that's a sign that there's damage going on in your liver. Statin drugs also lower your coenzyme Q10 levels, so you want to get those levels tested if you're on a statin drug. I find that you need about 200 milligrams a day to get pretty good levels of a CoQ10 in your body. But that's not with people taking statins. Those are people not taking statins. So people on statins may require even more than that. Recently, it's been shown that statin drugs may increase your susceptibility to diabetes and also have an effect on your memory. So those are the common reactions. Now, the adverse reactions include death. I don't know how many people tell you that. Well, even on the list here, they don't say death directly, but there are illnesses caused by it that are life-threatening. Rhabdomyolysis, acute renal failure, liver toxicity, pancreatitis. You can have an allergic reaction to any drug. It can cause autoimmune diseases like lupus, polymyalgia, dermatomyositis. Those are all autoimmune diseases. It can lower your white count and your platelet count and your red cell count. I mean, a lot of potentially serious problems. So, you know, I always say you have to weigh the pros and the cons, which is more life-threatening. Well, clearly, those are rare events, but we never know who's going to suffer those events, or those risk factors. So, therefore, if you're on a statin drug, you really should check for these problems on a monthly basis, because you can have some symptoms that could be potentially life-threatening, and in its earliest stages have no symptoms from it. That's the problem with mainstream medicine. Everything is based on first having a symptom. Well, that's okay when you make your money treating patients when they get very sick. And that's part of the problem with healthcare in this country. You have to get very sick to meet the criteria for treatment. If you're on a drug, I think that should be a reason at least to get a chemistry panel on a monthly basis to make sure you're not running into any trouble from the drugs. A lot of people dismiss their usual aches and pains, and they don't think that it could be drug-related. We see patients coming to us all the time on lots of drugs and with lots of complaints, and the blood work doesn't show anything until you go through the list of side effects of the drugs and you see that these drugs may be creating all their problems, and then you have to look for a different approach than a drug to treat the problem. And they're there, and that's the main point. There are a lot of other approaches to treating problems than using a drug, but that's what mainstream medicine is based on, the use of drugs to treat a problem. So if you're on a statin drug, get that at least a monthly chemistry panel, check your coenzyme Q10 levels, and if you do that chem panel, do it fasting because it may increase your risk of developing diabetes. That's been shown. And you can look up the side effects of these drugs. And if you do get the drug, the pharmacies give you the printout. Of course, you need a microscope to read the fine print, but it's there just to look at. I have to tell you, though, this is the way doctors think, because they prescribe these drugs so often, they very, very rarely see side effects. So they forget the fact that these are potentially hazardous drugs, but you have to remember that it only takes one person to have a side effect to make you think twice about using them because you just can't predict. Now, with statin drugs, we mentioned, okay, it's going to have an effect on your liver. Then you have to think about what else are you doing that may have an effect on your liver. Are you drinking alcohol? Are you taking Tylenol or acetaminophen? All metabolized through the liver, and the use of them concurrently may increase your risk of problems. So that's why you taking a natural approach may be a much better approach than using statin drugs, at least at the beginning. There was one category, some studies show, of individual that absolutely benefits from statin drugs, and that's middle-aged men with familial, which is a hypercholesterolemia, which is a inherited illness with super high levels of cholesterol. They may benefit from a statin drug, but the studies show that if you just give it the way it's currently being used, anybody with a cholesterol over 200, and of course now they're using it for other reasons than just having high cholesterol. What if if you go to a doctor and your this troponin I was elevated, or another test they do, endothelin, another test that looks at inflammation in the blood vessels, if those are elevated, they're giving statin drugs as an anti-inflammatory. So, do your research. You could, and I think it's fair. If your doctor is recommending a statin drug just because he just realized that he did a test and he just found something, you could ask him, can we try some different approaches, at least for a month or two, to see if we can improve the condition without resorting to a drug. That's a fair question. That's the way it's supposed to be done. I remember going to a conference on how to treat elevated blood sugar, and he said, well, take this drug. And I said, don't you first recommend lifestyle and dietary changes? He said, yes, the recommendation is, at least 6 months of lifestyle and dietary changes. If the problem doesn't improve, then give the drug. And then he went on to say, but we know people aren't going to do that, so we just go ahead and give the drug. So, that's the thinking. So it's really up to you. If you want to avoid taking drugs, you got to change your lifestyle, because in my experience, without changing the lifestyle and just taking the drug, all you're doing is covering up the problem, maybe making the test look better, but the underlying changes, negative changes in your body continue to go on. So, you know, I think most of the people that listen to this show understand that. But there are a lot of people, they when they go to a doctor, they think, boy, that's, you know, what he tells you is the only approach. That's only everything has to be treated with a drug. And I just saw early on in my practice as a physician, you're following all the recommendations, you know, giving these drugs. Now, here's what it is, too. The drugs work. But what do they work at doing? They work at changing a number. You know, early on, you know, I gave the blood pressure medicine, got the people's blood pressure down to where it should be. Or you gave them blood sugar medication, get their blood sugar down, control their diabetes. But at the end of the day, you didn't prevent them from going on to have the more serious problems associated with high blood pressure or high blood sugar, because the drugs aren't removing the cause. It's just covering it up, because if they don't change their diet, and it really seems to always come down to diet, where we're eating, you know, too many sugars and carbohydrates, that seems to be the big factor. Of course, smoking is a major factor. You know, I'll tell a patient if they come to me for chelation therapy, for example, and they're smoking, I'll say you'll get a better benefit just by quitting smoking at this point than continuing to smoke and doing chelation therapy. So, you know, cut out the smoking. That's the most important thing anybody can do who still smokes when trying to address any health challenge. And that's not, you know, that's heart disease and cancers, both things. It's, you know, it's just a bad habit, because it exposes you to all the toxins that come from the tobacco, including the heavy metals associated with it. And that's why so many illnesses or risk of developing illnesses are of concern in people who smoke. So the best thing is to stop smoking, get your weight under control, exercise on a regular basis, and stop being fooled into thinking that you can ignore all that and just take a drug and everything will be fine, because that's the way people are thinking. And these days, because I'm going back into the late 1970s, 1980s, you know, things have changed a lot from the standpoint of what drugs are available, what's happened to our environment. You know, back then they didn't have genetically modified foods. The controversy over that continues. You know, you can look at one website and they say they're perfectly safe, and you look at another website and they tell you how dangerous they are, and the fact that they're being banned in so many countries around the world but still utilized in the United States. So, you know, what do you think? I know human nature is, well, if I want to eat those kind of foods, I'll just agree with the, I'll just read the website that said they're perfectly safe. Time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and Janet will be back tomorrow with us. We're talking about different tests that are available to identify people at risk for heart attack, stroke, congestive heart failure. And right now the doctors are routinely doing cholesterol testing because they use that as a marker for who's at risk. And I'm thinking about the routine tests they do, a CBC, a chemistry panel, some thyroid testing, and cholesterol levels. They're really not doing a lot of tests to identify people at risk because the training is based on making money, and the money is made when you get to have the heart attack or have the blockages so they can now do invasive procedures. If you identify people before they need those treatments and reverse the cause, if your approach is to make money on illness, then you've cut your ability to make money. So the other test, that I just mentioned, and of course they do a fasting blood sugar is included in there. So if that's elevated, all right, you've identified people, they have a slightly elevated blood sugar, they have cholesterol, those are risk factors. But what if everything was perfectly normal? The cholesterol was normal. Blood sugar was normal. The thyroid was normal. Could you still have a risk for coronary artery disease? And the answer is yes. That's why these tests are coming out. So you want to measure your troponin I because that's an independent risk factor that will identify people at risk even if their cholesterol is normal. Because you can have normal cholesterol and still be at risk. The TMAO test, another independent risk factor that can identify people even with normal cholesterol. So let's take it one step further. What if you're already on a statin drug and the doctor says, well, you're on a statin drug. We don't have to test anything else. Well, you really don't know if the statin drug is solving the problem or not. So the troponin I, by Singulex or the TMAO by Cleveland Heart Labs, those tests can be very important. I'm still a big fan of vitamin C because of its connection with collagen production. And as Linus Pauling pointed out, reducing the possibility of cardiovascular disease and reversing it. Look at his website, paulingtherapy.com. And vitamin C is also effective in killing off cancer cells. Now, that's a whole different topic, but vitamin C is helpful there as well. It probably requires much higher doses than you can get orally, and that's where intravenous vitamin C comes in. But don't forget vitamin C. So in your testing, check your vitamin C levels. Check your coenzyme Q10 levels because those are essential nutrients for good health. And, of course, while we're checking nutrients, check your vitamin D level. And it's not enough to be in range. And that's the other area doctors make mistakes, in my opinion, that if you're in range, that means you're fine. But there are optimal levels within that range. For example, with vitamin D, The range is 30 to 100, but being up around 80 is more optimal than being around 35. So, you know, and you have to adjust your dosages accordingly. I have found that most people require about 10,000 units of vitamin D a day to get your levels up there. I know we mentioned before other doctors are prescribing vitamin D2, 50,000 units once a week. D2 is the wrong form of vitamin D to get the benefit. So vitamin D3, but I like 10,000 units a day, and check your levels. With CoQ10, at least 200 milligrams a day, and check your levels. Because this is how you you take steps to prevent illness. You know, we started off today's program with mentioning the meeting I went to last night that was talking about the troponin I level, a very sensitive type of way of looking at heart damage, not the same as the troponin that they do in the emergency rooms. And then I went over the side effects that are published. You know, they have to publish side effects when you take a drug of the statin drugs. That's why it should be reserved as a treatment of last resort. Remember, you know, we don't think of drugs as in the same context as surgery, where, you know, the risk of surgery could be death. But in some cases, the risk of drugs can be death as well. In fact, it's been published over 100,000 people a year die of taking drugs appropriately. Drugs have potential side effects that you should be aware of. And it's that reason that makes me look for other approaches that are safer and effective before you resort to taking a drug. So sometimes you need a drug, but it should be used maybe for a short term until you address the underlying problem and correct it, and the body then is able to heal itself. So, how do we approach this? Because all this information and what makes it difficult is now it requires changes in your daily way of living and lifestyle changes. So what do you do? The first approach when we talk about diet and lifestyle is what's called intermittent fasting. Very simple change. A lot of people tell me, oh, they can't do that. Well, then they're really not interested in improving their health. Eat during an 8-hour window every day. And the reason for that is you're now giving your body 16 hours to work on healing itself. Just think about how people eat now. They eat maybe during a 12-hour window or maybe even longer. And it puts an added stress on the body, and you're probably you're eating more food than you need to and not giving your body enough time to work on itself. Eat during that 8-hour window. So you can look at it this way. You know, if you start eating at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, finish, 8 hours later by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I like the other approach, you know, eat between 12 o'clock and 8 o'clock at night and give your body the time to get better. It makes a big difference. It will help you restrict the foods that you need to restrict, meaning the carbohydrates, and helps regulate your blood sugar better, because now your body has 16 hours without being fed, so the body can now work internally. Helps with weight loss, and if you're able to watch your diet at the same time as restricting the hours of eating, makes a big difference. And the other approach with exercise is the high intensity interval training. Whatever exercise you're doing, you don't have to do it for a half hour, an hour. So many people do, you know, they don't, because what they do is they do low intensity for a longer period of time. And the recent suggestions are do the high intensity for a shorter period of time. You get greater benefit. It's the same concept as weightlifting. If you want to strengthen your muscles, you have to try and lift heavier and heavier weights to challenge the muscles to get stronger. If you just lift a lightweight, your muscles won't get as strong. You may firm them up a little bit, but you won't be able to build the strength in them. So it's the same thing with high-intensity exercise. That's the equivalent of lifting heavier and heavier weights. And what you're training when you do high-intensity exercise, you're really training your lungs. You're strengthening or challenging your lungs to work more efficiently, as well as your heart, that you wouldn't get with a low-level exercise over a longer period of time. So little things like that. You can modify your workouts, high intensity, shorter period of time, get greater benefit, intermittent fasting. Add in the additional testing so you can get the feedback you need to know that you're not creating more problems than you think. And just relying on the CBC and the Chem Panel, you're missing out on a lot of opportunities, because these problems don't happen overnight. You know, there are years and years and years in development. So if you detect things early enough, you've got plenty of time to make the corrections and avoid problems later on. If you let them,
you know, reach the point of becoming symptomatic, for example, the person that has a heart attack, and they say, well, 40%, they didn't know they had heart disease because they didn't have symptoms. But they, if they did the right testing, they would have been able to identify those people and make the appropriate changes. So that's where the testing comes in, identifying people before they become symptomatic. And now you're given the chance to do something about it. And we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank you all for listening. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. We're here every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11. We'll be back tomorrow with Janet. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT.